Welcome back, WNST Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net. We are presenting WNST Rock Week. That is the hashtag for all things WNST Rock. And, you know, many of these interviews are from the modern era. And if you've been listening all week, you do know the ones that sound like they're on the radio. Then there's other ones that literally were from my era as the Baltimore Evening Sun pop music critic. And there were many, many bands that I interviewed that you've never heard of anymore. I could list the litany of the Britney Foxes and the Heaven's Edges and the Every Mother's Nightmares and all of these Hairspray bands that played Hammer Jacks that were never heard from again. There were some other one-hit wonders and some other tier two rock stars, as we would say. But this band went on to become legendary and Hall of Famers in every way. I caught them very much on the uprising of the Mother's Milk album in 1989. I received a phone call from Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Now, folks didn't know much about the Chili Peppers in April of 1990. They were playing at that point Painter's Mill Theater. So that'll date it. There are not a whole lot of interviews during that era that were to promote Painter's Mill's Theater. If you go online, it says that they actually played the 8x10 on that tour as well. But this is April 20th of 1990. And honestly, I did not know a lot about the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They were made famous on MTV News because Flea, their bass player, who's also a Hall of Famer now, would literally perform shows with only a sock over his penis. And they were arrested at various points. There were indecent exposure charges with Flea dropping his pants. There was a lot of moshing. I talked to Anthony Kiedis as a journalist. And again, they were not a mainstream band. They were not a band that was going to play stadiums and be multi-platinum all over the world. They were still trying to figure it out. And this conversation is really kind of spicy. Of all the conversations I had, I was trying to be very buttoned up and very almost famous, kind of Cameron Crowe, and ask big questions with big words and try to act older than I was. I was 21 years old at the time. So this is April of 1990. I was born in October 68. So I was 21 years of age at this point. And who knows what a 21-year-old version of me said to Anthony Kiedis. But they also were very, very fascinated with John Waters. And they were coming to have dinner with John Waters and meet John Waters. Their guitar player, John Frusciante, was a huge John Waters fan. And Kiedis talks about copulating with John Waters and that the Painter's Mill stage would be like a giant nipple. He quiets the band from rehearsing from behind him out of respect for me. It was hilarious. I think you're going to laugh at this, and obviously there's some serious overtones and undertones about drugs and about the death of Halil Slovak, one of their bandmates who died, drug overdose. And I don't know that I was particularly tactful either, so I apologize to Anthony Kiedis if he ever hears this. I just did not know a lot about the band, and there was no Google then. I keep going back to the part where if you didn't know a lot about the band, all you got was a bio, maybe two pages, maybe three pages. There were no websites. Some bands had a lot of information in liner notes. Some bands did a lot of media. Some bands didn't do a lot of media. Some bands were loved by Rolling Stone. Some bands weren't. This band was a band that got arrested, and people pressed charges, and people were offended, and they cursed on stage, and they were big into artist freedom, and he said if it happens to involve nudity on stage, then that's what they're going to do. So then he handed the phone to his guitar player, who loved John Waters, and let me know that they were dining together. So I never got back to them. I never met Anthony Kiedis before or after the show. I didn't even go to the show. Still have never met John Waters. Anybody knows John Waters? Tell John Waters I'd like to interview him one day if you see him. Throw me an email, nasty@wnst.net. I'd love to meet John Waters, which I've never done. But obviously they met John Waters. I don't know that any story ever came from it. I love John Waters. His work makes me laugh, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers are a band that I love their music, and I don't always love them live. I've seen them be a little sloppy on the live side, but this interview is a little weird, a little gross, a little offbeat. certainly by my standards as a 21-year-old guy talking to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I definitely had to edit this one for FCC quality. Maybe one day I'll be able to, you know, work blue, but not today. This is the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Anthony Kiedis checking in from a band rehearsal during April of 1990 when they were playing Painter's Mill Theater in Reisterstown.
Hello, can I speak to, let me see, who is it that I need to speak to?
Nestor.
Nestor?
You must be a Chili Pepper.
I am.
You're Anthony.
Are you Nestor?
Yeah.
Hello, Nestor.
How are you?
I'm good.
You're Anthony.
I am.
Because nobody was sure who was calling. They said, Anthony, no Chad, no Flea, no Anthony.
No, it's me.
So, me, okay. So how are you making out? Where are you today?
Today I'm on the corner of Ivar and Yucca in a beautiful, it's an absolutely amazing day in Hollywood. It rained this morning, it cleared all of the smog away, and now the sun is poking through, and it's just one of my favorite days.
You're a descriptive chap, aren't you?
Yeah, I majored my whole life in description.
So you guys are not basically on the road at this point, or?
No, we're not on the road because we've been on the road for the last 6 months or more, and we're taking a small leisurely break in our hometown so that we can enjoy our lives here, and then we're going to leave again Thursday and come to Baltimore so that we can have a musical copulation with John Waters.
So this is the first show we're going to get here Friday?
Yeah.
So you're promising a wild one then, huh?
Well, I make no promises, but every time we take the stage, we take it like it could possibly be the last time we ever take the stage, which is to say that we play with all of our might and energy on every particular occasion that we should take the stage.
So you're getting bigger places now? Is that anger you, or...
Does that anger me?
Yes. I mean, you guys are pretty much pride of yourself on playing little places.
Fellas, the hell are you doing? The hell are you talking long distance to Baltimore, John Waters' hometown? I'm talking to Nestor. No, of course that doesn't anger us. The whole point of playing music is to reach the heart and souls of people. And obviously the more that you can reach, you know, the better, because to each is reach. And if you can't reach it, then you can't have it.
The place you're playing here was this classy stage in the Round. Have you ever performed in the Round before?
Yes, we have.
Is that exciting, or is that not exciting?
It kind of makes us feel like we're playing on a large nipple, really.
Come on, give me something I can write about. This is a family paper.
Oh, it's a family paper. Oh, well, it's like playing on a circular tourist station wagon.
Okay.
No, yeah, we've played the Round. We played the Celebrity Theater in Arizona and in Long Beach, and we, you know, does it rotate?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, we love the rotating rod.
I bet you do. As far as the radio play you guys are getting, is Higher Ground getting play most everywhere, or is just just in Baltimore?
Funny you should ask, because I was in a meeting this morning with the record company, and I heard my manager spout off that Higher Ground was played on 115 AOR radio stations. So I guess it's on 115 to be exact. And hold on.
Get your call waiting. Yeah.
Hold on. You know, I don't know how to do it on this particular, it's a mobile phone, so fuck it.
Okay. So has success here?
Has what?
Has success been a curse in certain ways for you guys?
See, that's a crazy question, because if you ask me about success, I'll tell you that we've been successful since day one of our conception. You know, my concept of success is being true to yourself, and we've always been that since the very time we began, and we've always been able to feed our mouths and to, you know, clothe our bodies and to put a roof over our head and enjoy our lives playing music. So we've always been successful. This is nothing new to us. The fact that we've attained a tad of commercial success, you know, that's fine too, but don't get us wrong. See, we've always been successful.
So with Mother's Milk, did you know that this was going to sell some more albums? I mean, this is gold now, right?
It's gold. In fact, you have to ask yourself, how much more gold could it be? And the answer is none more gold.
How many albums has it sold?
Over 500,000.
And when did you get your gold?
Well, we haven't actually been presented. We're having a special party in New York City about a week after we leave Baltimore, where they're going to present us with a gold record. And if I had to guess, I would say that a large brawl will ensue to see who actually gets the gold record between the band.
So did you foresee this with Mother's Milk when you were laying down these tracks last year?
No, we didn't. We never foresaw that at all. In fact, you know, we've been wondering, you know, for years now, why none of our records have gone gold before, and so we sort of stopped having expectations and just, you know, concentrated on making the best music that we could, and it's really kind of a bonus. Although a lot of my it, and I bet against it because I figured I couldn't lose. If I lost the bet, at least I would gain a gold record, and if I didn't get a gold record, I won the bet. So
what was the bet?
It was, you know, nominal financial sums.
Are you sorry that all this happened after Hill's death, or?
Well, I mean, it's not really anything that you can, you know, be sorry about.
What went down with him? What is the actual, you know, the third scoop?
He died from the disease of addiction, you know.
Where, when, and
well,
how?
Or? I don't really want to get into that. You know, the fact is that we lost one of the most beautiful friends that we ever had, that we had shared our lives with, and it was, you know, enormously tragic, and dealing with that complex nature of grief was a very difficult and a very sad time for us. But the fact is that, you know, we were still alive, and although Hillel meant so much to us as a friend, you know, music was still part of our lives, and we still wanted to continue playing with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, because to us, that represented life itself. And you know, all I can hope is that Hillel would be proud of what we're playing, and I'll always know in my heart that we would have never got this far without him, you know, so I thank him for that, and you know, I just miss him, basically.
So what about Jack leaving, too?
Yeah, that's what he decided to do, you know, and I had to respect his decision. Everyone deals with those type of situations in different ways, and that was his way of dealing with it, and we had to be understanding of each other, and, you know, he went his way, and we went ours, and we still love each other, but we don't play together anymore, you know. Hopefully he's happy doing what he's doing, and we are doing what we're doing.
You don't talk to him then?
No, I do. I run into him from time to time, and we, you know, we hug each other, and we talk about, you know, what's going on, and we're still friends.
So when did this happen? Is it middle 88 or beginning 88, or has it been 2 years?
It's been 2 years.
So, 2 years
in June.
2 years in June. So, I mean, what was your feeling at this point? I mean, were you pretty much stoned at the time, or?
Was I what?
Were you pretty much stoned in the same way Hillel was, or?
No, at the time I was not, and I haven't been since at all. In fact, I'm completely clean and sober for the last 22 months.
So did you feel this whole thing coming apart? I mean, how long did it take you to get over this death and say, let's move on with our music?
You never get over something like that. I mean, I'm going to have to live with it for the rest of my life. You don't, you know, just one day wake up and you're over with it. You know, I'll never be over it. I'll always miss him and I'll always love him. But I don't think we should dwell on the subject. I think we should move on to a new one.
Okay, what about John and Chad joining the band? How did that all work out?
That worked out miraculously, to be quite honest. You know, we were blessed with two absolutely incredible musicians and two tremendous brothers that we could, you know, share new experiences with. I don't think we could have found better musicians or better friends to join the band. And, you know, all I can attribute that to is absolute beautiful fortune. You know, we were real lucky to find these guys. And the funny thing is that they made a perfect balance, because John came into the band totally understanding and having experienced everything that there was to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He basically lived his life as an extension of us, even though he wasn't in the band.
Did you know him when he was a fan?
No, we didn't. We met him afterwards. And he had been practicing guitar for 20 hours a day for the last 7 years in his bedroom in the Valley. And he was, you know, extraordinarily talented as a musician, and he fit in perfectly. And where the balance comes in is with finding Chad Smith, because Chad was someone who was very unfamiliar with our music, had just moved to Hollywood, didn't really know anything about us, but he himself was also extraordinarily talented as a musician. And so it really made a nice blend of somebody that was familiar and somebody who wasn't, because, you know, we got fresh, funky ideas from both people from completely different angles.
Where's Chad from?
He's from Detroit, Michigan.
So the success, or commercial success, I keep equating one with the other. I guess I shouldn't do that. Has your act toned down a little bit? I saw you on a MTV News a few weeks ago with some negative things about you guys in the courtroom.
Well, you know, for one thing, that was basically very much trumped up by the media.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm asking you about.
Toned down. Like I said before, we're still absolutely true to ourselves and to our art and to our music. And, you know, we never intend on making a conscious decision to tone down anything. You know, if that should be the way that we go, it'll be a natural reaction. You know, we just do what we do, and we don't intellectualize on it, and we don't sit and consider, you know, let's tone down. We just do what we do naturally, and if it's toning up, then we're going to tone up. We're not going to change ourselves because of any, you know, so-called commercial success.
But what about about the incident in Fairfax about the pulling the pants down or whatever. That's real near here. That's why I'm asking you about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, basically it was some misdemeanor charges that were brought against individuals in the band. You know, that's behind us now, and there was never any harmful intention involved with any of that activity. You know, we're very loving, friendly people, and I think somebody may or may not have been offended, but they decided to press charges, you know, for whatever reason. You know, I don't necessarily think that it was a legitimate charge, but, you know, you have to deal with those type of things when you're a famous person in a band. You know, sometimes people are going to try to take advantage of that status, and basically, you know, I don't have too much more to say about that except for, you know, the media blew it way out of proportion, and a lot of it had to do with the sort of the surgence of people trying to censor creativity in America, and, you know, we don't go down that easily.
But does your record company ever give you, you know, say you can't do this or please stop doing this? Or
no, the record company understands that we're, you know, friendly by nature, and that we're never going to do anything to hurt anybody, and they pretty much give us the artistic freedom to express ourselves in whatever way we see fit. And, you know, if it happens to involve nudity on the stage, you know, that's what we're about, and they pretty much, you know, give us the courtesy and understanding to let us do whatever we want.
So you're going to break the socks out on Friday night, or?
Well, that's always a mystery. You know, we only do that when we feel like it, and it's never, you know, preconceived. It's something that happens very spontaneously, and I couldn't tell you whether we are or not. But we certainly wouldn't stop doing that because of what's happened, because, you know, that's an act of freedom and beauty on stage, and we're certainly not going to cut that out.
Do fans kind of expect this now, and does that kind of piss you off?
Well, it doesn't matter what they expect, because we don't give them what they expect. We give them what they don't expect. You know, we're always evolving and changing and moving and, you know, flowing with our new rhythms, and, you know, you never know what to expect from us.
So down in front, do you still have the people slam dancing around, or are you getting sort of a milder crowd these days?
Well, it varies. I mean, you know, some people like to dance, you know, in the slam fashion. Some people like to dance in other, you know, strange, funky fashions. But, yeah, we still have people, you know, going completely berserk at our shows because, you know, that's what we inspire them to do.
So, do these people ever get injured, or? You know, I'm never in there slam dancing, but I'm close enough to see what the hell is going on. I'm wondering how these people are not getting injured.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers carry with them a very peaceful vibe, and I think that carries off to our audience as well. I don't think any of the slam dancers at our audience ever have violent intentions. You know, obviously people are going to get bruised and bumped and battered, but I don't think anything too terribly violent or malicious, or, you know, no serious injuries to speak of. People all do it with positive intentions, you know.
If you ever saw anything rotten happening, would you put an end to it?
Oh, we do, you know, frequently, but that's usually incited by the bouncers. If there is ever any fighting in the audience, we usually stop the show and stop the fight and, you know, explain to people that, you know, we don't come here to watch you fight. We come here to make you happy with music, and you all shouldn't be fighting. And if it's the bouncers, you know, we ask the bouncers not to you know, take out their power trip, ego, fanatic, violent aggressions on the audience, but rather just, you know, to enjoy the show.
Have you injured yourself recently? Or
Yeah, that's a continual thing that we have to deal with. And in fact, that's generally the sign of a good show. You know, if we can walk off the stage bleeding or with, you know, with skull fractures, we know that we've done a good show.
So what's the worst thing you've done recently as far as skull fracture?
I've ripped ligaments in my ankle. We've all, you know, cut ourselves about the face and head region, you know, on guitars or on drums. There have been a number of, like, pulled rib muscles. You know, I've been stitched up a lot of times after shows, but that's all part of the gig.
So you get a gold album, you get, I guess you have more money now, or you will have, than you've ever had. How does this change your life when you get back to L.A. the next time, I guess?
Well, you know, money's a crazy thing. I don't really, you know, have that much money, and I don't really think about money that much. Flea just bought a new 69 black convertible Camaro for $10,000, so that's what he did with his money. Our guitar player is moving into a new fancy house in the Hollywood Hills right above the Whiskey for $2,300 a month. That's what he's doing with his money. Our drummer Chad just bought a really big Harley Davidson for about $12,000, I think.
And you're putting yours all into CDs, right?
I keep mine all in the cookie jar on my windowsill.
Well, I won't tell anybody where you live.
We also just got
happen?
Because we never really paid that many taxes before, but now that we're making some money, we have to pay those taxes in full. So, you know, we don't want to have any trouble with the government, so we pay.
So you guys don't own houses and...
No, nobody owns houses in this band. But I own two pair of sneakers.
Hey, that'll get you a tax break.
And as far as I know, there's some mice living in my sneakers. So if you think about it, I actually bought a house for some mice.
Well, I don't think they give you a tax break for that.
No, they don't. They're not actually dependents when you think about it.
Well, I certainly appreciate your time this evening, and I hope the weather is nice in L.A. It's been nice here, too.
Oh, it's great. Well, before you leave, Nestor, my guitar player just wanted to say hi because he's quite a fanatical fan of Baltimore due to the fact that John Waters lives and has grown up in that city.
Put him on. I got a minute for a John Waters fan. Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
This is John, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you're a Waters fan, right?
I'm a huge John Waters fan. His movies are one of the three things in my life that bring me true peace and happiness when everything just seems terrible and complicated.
Did you see Crybaby yet?
I saw it. I was planning on seeing it every single day until we were on tour, but I saw it 4 days in a row, and then I missed a day, and we've been so busy the last few days with all the shit we've been doing that I haven't been able to see it again since, but I've seen it 4 times so far.
Have you gotten a chance to meet him?
No, never, but we are going to meet him when we come to Baltimore.
You got it all set up already?
He invited us to go over to his house to eat dinner.
No shit.
So I'm very excited about it, and in Baltimore, I think, is one of the greatest places on the face of the earth.
Have fun in Baltimore.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.